Good morning. It's great to see you this morning in my mind's eye. And I know that those of you that are watching, you are feeling privileged to have the responsibility and the opportunity to worship God together with us as we have our service live streaming. I'm amazed at so many things in life, but that blank screen there with just a few words on it amazes me to no end. God wants to be with you. As I think about that idea of God wanting to be with me, I wonder sometimes where he is. If God really does want to be with me, why doesn't he come to me in a greater way in my mind, or in a more direct way in my mind? If God really wants to be with me, why would he permit circumstances we're experiencing in our world today where we are more isolated than ever? It seems like it doesn't really fit our world today. God wanting to be with us. I want to remind you of this passage that Evan read. And we're so proud of Evan and our graduates, and we have some hard work that has been done of putting pictures of these graduates out in front of our building here by Main Street. I encourage you to go by and see them and to encourage them in every way that you can. We're very, very proud of them. But Evan read a couple of passages that tell us something about God being with us. We read them, and it's such a neat little story about the angel of the Lord trying to convince Joseph and Mary that Jesus was going to come into the world. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God makes it very clear, there's no doubt, God is coming into this world. How significant is that? And as we read the end of the book of Matthew, and the life of Christ has been enclosed in this great book, and Jesus is ascending into heaven, and he gives this great commission, as we call it, at the end of the book of Matthew. And Jesus teaches them, if you will go and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and you will teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Verse 20 says, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am in the present tense, and that could be said today. Those that are going into the world and doing what God has said in spreading this great gospel message, God is going to be with us always. That continues to amaze me. As I look back at the creation story, God created mankind, I believe, because he wanted a creature that could and would freely and fully choose to love him and want to be with him. Why would we not want to be with God? He walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden where he placed them. In this particular verses, he's walking and talking with them after they have decided they really didn't want to be with him. And we are just like them. This is not just a neat fairy tale about some God coming into the world, or some God that created some utopian society as we could think about the Garden of Eden being before sin entered. This is a real story. It's a story about you and about me. God created us because he wants to be with us. And in a real sense, we are able to walk with him in our lives. We read of men like Enoch who walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God has walked with mankind in a number of ways throughout our time. God came to be with Moses and others in great ways. But God created us because he wanted to be with us. And then we choose not to be with him from time to time. And so when we see about God coming into the world, we see about God wanting to be with us, we see about God walking and talking with Adam and Eve, he gives us every indication that that's what he wants to do with us. And so this morning, for just a few minutes, I want you to think about how much God wants to be with us. Beginning in this garden story, man has consistently fought against being with God. The behavior of Adam and Eve caused them to be separated from God in a real way. Isaiah 59, in the middle of the sins of Israel, that is causing God to permit them to be taken into captivity for about 70 years before he brings them back, as it were, into his presence. Though he never left them, we'll see. We've consistently fought, and we do. Every one of us fights against being with God. We want to rise to the leadership role. We want to take the place of God, because sometimes we will say things like, I don't see why God would have us to do that. Or, I don't know why God would demand this of us. And some would even go so far as to say, I don't believe God would demand that of us. And we fight against wanting to be with God. As we think about us, and as we think about God's command in the Garden of Eden, of the fruit of every tree you may freely eat, except the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. Eve looked at this fruit, and she saw that it was good for food. Perhaps she was hungry. She saw that it was beautiful to look upon. She appreciated the physical beauty of this particular tree and the fruit that it bore. But more than anything, it seems, she wanted to be like God, because Satan had tried to convince her that if she partook of the fruit, she would be more like God than ever before. And so she took the fruit and she ate, and she began that fight with God that you and I continue to have as we think about our lives here. We look at Cain rising up and killing Abel in Genesis 4 and verse 8. We can also think about the world before the flood, where every thought and intent of man's heart was only evil continually. We read this great passage that we've already heard read once in our hearing. All men sin. That's Roy Sharp. That is you. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. We fight against God being with us, and our desire to be with God is dimmed because we choose sin over God's righteousness. And so we have to think that God wants to be with us anyway. We are constantly fighting him. We're constantly choosing attitudes and ideas and thoughts and behaviors that are in violation of the will of God. But he still wants to be with us. God's desire, it can be seen in captivity for the people of Israel back in the Old Testament. The prophet Ezekiel records in chapter 11 and verse 16, though I had removed them far away among the nations, and though I had scattered them among the countries, yet I was a sanctuary for them a little while in the countries where they had gone. God continued to make a place for himself in the life of people who were choosing to not want to be with him. So much so that their sins separated them from this great land that God had given them. Separated them from that great temple where God would come to be with them. But God continued with them, and he would not leave them there forever. He had gone with them. In chapter 43 of the book of Ezekiel, the prophet said, Son of man, this is the place of my name and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell among the sons of Israel. How hard it must have been for God to help develop the nation of Israel and to do all the wondrous things that he did to bring them from slavery out of the land of Egypt. give them the land of promise and to help defeat those people that were such sinful nations that God would drive them out. God wanted to dwell among them, but they consistently turned away. I've been reading recently the book of Judges and these cycles of sin, where there was no king in Israel and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. God watched as those people would leave him and they would cry out for help. God would come again into their presence in the form of a judge and bring them back to spiritual reality so that God could be with them forever. It is God's strong desire, as we see those passages that tell us that Jesus is coming into the world, that He will continue to be with us forever and forever. It is God's desire to be with us this morning. Jesus came. It's not just a story, it's reality. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible teaches us that He appointed 12 so that they could be with Him, that He could send them out to preach. Preaching is a difficult job, knowing what to preach, sometimes knowing how to preach. Sometimes the preaching of Jesus was gentle. It was as though He wanted to reach out and touch people so gently that it seems unthinkable to us. And sometimes His preaching was very harsh. He, like John the Baptist, could look at those people and see their sinful state and tell them exactly who they were spiritually. Preaching is not easy. But listening to preaching is not easy, because it tells us who we are. It tells us what we are. It tells us about our relationship with God, or the relationship that we don't have with God. And so Jesus so kindly and thoughtfully, powerfully, came to be with the 12. He came to dwell among them. This passage ought to be so powerful to us from the book of 1 John in chapter 1. When John is writing, this apostle of love who had the opportunity to be with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to listen to Jesus, to learn from Jesus, and then to take that message that he learned from this man that he was with day by day, who was also God and was able to give John a great message. John wrote these words: "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with Him, with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." God so wants to be with us that our fellowship today can be with Jesus Christ and with the Father. We have such a great need. In the prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 24 says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given to me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me." Jesus so wanted to be with us. Go back and read the book of Philippians in chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Where this mind of Jesus that he had, and those first four verses describe that mind, where we ought to think of others as better than ourselves, and we ought to humbly work with other people. That's the mindset that verse 5 is talking about, where Jesus thought of you and me as better than himself. And he didn't count it robbery to be on an equal level with God, but he emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. He wanted to come into this world, giving up everything that you and I think about and know about heaven being, to come to this world and to suffer in the same ways that you and I suffer, to be tempted in the same way that you and I are tempted, but to be crucified, to be resurrected, and to sit on the right hand of God. And He wants us to be where He is. We have that great need. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul says, "We're of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." God wants that. In fact, God is looking forward to your passing from this world. Isn't that strange that God would be looking forward to your death? That's why the psalmist could write, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." It's something precious to Him. We fight it. We fight being with God. We fight being at home with the Lord. And I believe God designed us to want to live in this world. God designed us to try to protect ourselves. I think that's why we've been going through what we've been going through, because we've been trying to protect ourselves. But I'm telling you today that God wants to be with us so much that He sent His Son, and the Son wanted to be with us so much He came to suffer as He did because of our need. And the Apostle Paul recognized how much better it would be for him to be out of this body and to be with the Lord. So he could say in Philippians 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The book of Revelation at its conclusion gives us some insight into the place where God wants us to be, where He wants to be with us forever. We won't be going through anything like we're going through now. The kind of darkness that we are in, that Tom spoke about as we observe the Lord's Supper this morning. But there will be no longer any night, and we'll not have any need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord our God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and forever. That's God's desire for us. We have such a great need. God so wants to be with us, and we ought to think about our response. Perhaps this morning you're thinking about a need that you have. It may be that you have a need to be baptized into Christ as Jesus taught us that we should, as the sermons in the book of Acts teach us that we should, to repent of our sins and be baptized into Jesus Christ. What a tremendous opportunity you have. If you have that desire, contact the ministers or the elders here at the congregation. We will assist you. If you're a child of God who needs prayers, contact your elders, contact your ministers, and we will help you. We hope that if you have any need for prayer or any spiritual need, you'll contact us. We ought to walk as Jesus walked. As we think about that, Jesus was entirely obedient to the gospel as He presented it. It wasn't just a message for us. He lived that life, and God is expecting us to walk as He walked. May God bless you as you think about how much God wants to be with you today. Let's close with a prayer. Father, You've given us a wonderful day. Thank You. You've given us a tremendous opportunity to worship You. Thank You for that. We've been so ably led today in listening to Your scriptures read and to the Lord's Supper being observed and to our shepherd's prayer. We're so thankful for these privileges, and we pray, Father, You will help us to desire them more and more, and that You will help us to desire to be with You so much that we will walk as Jesus walked. That's our